Hello and welcome to the Grazia Life Advice Podcast. I hope you're having a really good week. We've got more life tips and chat coming up, this time from an award-winning comedian and writer.
Hi, I'm Rose Matafeo. I am this week's guest on the Grazia Life Advice Podcast.
We'll hear about Rose's hilarious show, Starstruck, and why you should always wear your best underwear.
But I think if I was a ghost, you know, like kind of looking down on me and I'm like, God damn, why do I wear those today?
We talk a little about different types of friendship.
In comedy or in like when you're an actor and stuff, like with different projects and stuff, you become very close with people. It's like doing a musical at school, you know, when you're like, we're going to be friends forever. And you're like, yeah, we really don't stay in touch.
And Rose gives us a glimpse into her future where she is miraculously muscle bound and dining alone in restaurants.
I knew that that was the future I wanted for myself. I was like, start young. So it just, people expect it of you by the time you're in their 30s. It's not like a, oh, that's weird. Rose has gone for dinner on her own again. It's like, yeah, that's what she does. It's a thing.
There's also mention of Rose's hippie parents and the virtues of listening to what your hormones are telling you. I'm sure this one is going to make you laugh. Let's get into it. Thanks so much for joining us, Rose. I'm super excited to have you on the show because I was a huge fan of Starstruck. And I felt like I sort of had personally discovered it because I felt like I was one of the first people that was watching it in my friendship group and then like recommended it to loads of people. I'm sure I wasn't, but
yeah. I have
like a real personal connection to it. So congrats.
I like that. It's a real grassroots sort of publicity campaign. It's because of people like you that it has been seen. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. And so the second season's coming out. Do you know when it's coming out in the UK?
Next month. So in February. Yes. So
fantastic.
When this comes out. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't wait to see it. And have you been doing a lot of sort of promo for it and talking to lots of people about it? And
yes,
how do you find all that side of things?
I mean, it's okay. I get sick of the side of my own face when I'm editing the show. And then when I'm promoting the show, I get sick of the sound of my own voice. So I'm sorry. I always should remember this and like try and time press days not to be like I need to like plan something really fun after because I'm always like,
yeah,
I hate myself.
That doesn't involve you talking to other people about yourself afterwards.
Exactly,
like go and like play sport or something.
I just need to go into a dark room for 12 hours and just, you know, meditate or something.
Well, hopefully our chat today will feel a bit different because as much as we love talking about the show, we're actually here to talk about your life advice,
yes.
Which you've sent me, and mm-hmm. I'm very intrigued to find out more. So, Rose, could you tell me, please, your first piece of life advice?
All right. My first piece of life advice is something that I've only come to terms with, you know, at this age of my life, my late 20s. And that is that life is, I think, too short for bad underwear and or socks. And I say this fully knowing that I have pairs of underwear in my closet that I think are like, honestly, probably nearly 10 years old. Like, I mean, maybe 10's a bit too generous, but probably 8 or 7. And you know what? I'm all for, you know, using things until they're just like falling apart. But I think my advice here is that you should buy quality. Don't buy tons of crap underwear or socks. You're not gonna, they're gonna fall apart. You're gonna have to throw them out. Buy good quality, buy good ones, and buy ones that you would be happy with. Mm. You know, what's the old saying, you know, like being hit, if you run over by a bus, you know, like, and you know, someone you
I've
die,
always wondered
I guess.
About that because it's always I'm always like, surely that's the least of your worries in that scenario.
Exactly. Yeah.
But
I think if I was a ghost, you know, like kind of looking down on me, and I'm like, God damn, why do I wear those today? That goes actually for all clothes in general. Now I've learned that like I need to start dressing up, particularly coming out of lockdown. I'm like, just start dressing up in your best clothes every day. Because when else are you going to wear them? You know?
Why not? And do you have a hierarchy of underwear and socks where you've got like good, excellent, just being at home?
There are socks that I'm like, why am I even washing you? Like, you don't deserve to be washed. Why did I wear you? Oh my God. You will be seen. You will not be seen. You'll be seen. You will not be seen nor heard. You will be under a boot. No one will see you. If they do see you, something terrible has gone wrong. So yeah, I definitely have a hierarchy. I've recently sort of found my almost perfect white sock. So that was a really big, big day for me. Oh, look, it was dirty old Amazon, to be honest. I feel really bad about that, but it's very hard to find a good ankle white sports sock that won't, you know, fall apart on you.
My worst kind of socks, my wife used to wear these like little pop socks that are like, do you know the ones I mean?
Yeah.
They're like not proper socks. They just cover like your big toe and your ankle. Yeah. And then they'd get stuck in the washing machine, like in the little rim of the washing machine. Oh, and there'd be these like soggy balls of sock.
No, I mean, I do not have the feet that can deal with that sort of sock. I've got giant, large, wide feet, which I really do love. But, well, not really. But those socks cover basically my big toe. And that's
I just wondered what the point of them was.
How do they work? I don't know ergonomically how they work. It's very bizarre. Yeah.
So we've learned about your feet. Thank you. I'm also learning that you are not a plant person. And your second piece of advice is that if you recognize that you're not a plant person, to essentially just accept that and move on.
Yeah. I mean, I say that, but I'm currently looking at two plants that I've bought. I've moved into a new flat and I was like, maybe that's me. And then they haven't died yet. I think the one in the other room has died. I think that this is the true test. Whether or not if these plants survive, it means that, you know, I could have a future as a plant person. If they don't, I need to accept that. Because I think it's good to accept your limitations.
Definitely.
Celebrate the win. Celebrate the things you're good at. But do accept the limitations. You can't be everything. You can't be everything to everyone all the time. And if you're not a plant person, you're not a plant person.
So where does it go wrong for you with plants?
Remembering that they're living creatures. Remembering that they need any type of attention. I mean, I think I get really scared of the don't overwater them. Don't overwater them. Because if it was just like, water them every day, I'd be like, fine, automated, great. I just water them every single day. But to have to bring in an element of, you know, like judgment and like what, like knowledge. Oh, I have to touch the soil. What is that? So, I think I'm just looking at one now and I can see some of the fronds are drooping quite a bit. And I'm like, oh no, that's not a good sign, is it?
Yeah. Do you sort of, when they kind of die, do you like leave them around for a bit? Like accepting that?
Oh, I hate being able to
accept that.
It's not nice to have a plant brother die and then the other one has to watch the other one die. I think that's actually like keeping a corpse in the house. So don't do that.
You just get rid of them.
Get rid.
And did you grow up with a garden?
I did, but it was like a pretty wild garden. We did tend to it, but it wasn't like, you know, an immaculate garden. It was a bit of a jungle. But then that was kind of a self-sufficient jungle, you know what I mean? Like you just kind of let nature take over. So that's kind of my vibe. It's more of my vibe.
Yeah. I feel like if you're in any way an impatient person, that looking after plants and gardening is just not for you.
I'm just a very easily distracted person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also just, yeah, I'm bad at having dependence.
Right. Which I think we're going to get onto in our next piece of advice,
yes.
Which leads us seamlessly onto your third piece of advice, which is
try not to have kids. Now, I say this fully knowing that this is a real broad strokes with this, but I say it because, I mean, whatever response it elicits, it will crystallize to you what your position on that is. Because I could say that and it would offend a lot of people of saying, how dare you? Of course, you can't tell me what to do. But I think, and I actually don't, I mean, I have no clue what will happen in my life. But at this point in time, I certainly don't want children. And I don't think there are enough female role models who say that. And also, it's because also, I mean, I think there are so many incredible women who are mothers and you know, and do everything, and it's awesome. I also think there's so much space for like people who don't end up having kids. Also, it's just so bad for the environment, I suppose. I'm going to say this, and then like in 5 years, I'll have like a kid, and everyone will be like, remember when you said on my podcast, don't have kids? But it's good because then I'll be like, yeah, I'm a hypocrite. Yeah. I learned a lot in 5 years. But I think I think I find it really freeing and really nice and, I don't know, comforting when I see women I admire who don't have kids and are happy people and are fulfilled with their lives. And I think so much, if you don't feel that natural inclination, it's comforting to know that like you can have a very fulfilling life as a woman having no kids. And again, you know, very rarely people say to men, so when are you going to have children? And then when they're in their 40s and 50s.
Is that your age? Do you think you're not quite at the sort of like mid-30s biological clock is ticking kind of?
Yeah, well, I'm turning 30 next month, and I remember doing a film and when I was playing a pregnant woman and everyone was like, once you turn 30, it's just a switch goes. But, you know, you'll just want them. And I'm like, great, I will do everything in my power to ignore that switch, because if I followed every decision that my hormones led me to make, I would be a disaster. It would be a nightmare. So, you know, I think as compelling as those are, and you know, and as much as I am fully aware that, you know, everything can change, I think I want to come out and sort of, you know, draw a line in the sand and, you know, just don't have kids.
And also to sort of have a bit of a sense of humor about it and talk just openly about it without it being this kind of incredibly like precious and whispered and important kind of thing that totally. You can just say that and, you know, say that like, okay, I don't know what's going to happen in 10 years time, but this is how I feel now and that's okay.
I think the idea of a mother is like, you know, the sacredness around the idea of motherhood being intrinsically tied to womanhood is just boring.
I totally get that.
There's so much more.
We're just going to jump to a quick ad break and we'll be right back with Rose Matafeo. And we're back with Rose Matafeo, who's sharing her life advice with us today. And we're on to her fourth piece of life advice. Rose, could you hit us with this piece of advice, please?
Okay. This piece of advice is that if you are a person who menstruates, who gets a period, track it. Track that mother effer. Because I have found it, like, I don't know why I hadn't been doing this for a long time. I am so, because I'm not on the pill. So I got off the pill years and years ago. And so my cycle is very, very, I'd say this is an overshare, but I'm like, I've based a lot of my career about talking about my period. So I didn't really realize how much that affected so much of my mood. That's not a shameful thing. And I think it should be something that's totally like taken into account, particularly in like a work kind of work sphere, is that sometimes I have a very weird cocktail of hormones going around in my body that affect my mind and body in very strange ways. And maybe, Rose, maybe in the same way that, you know, maybe you should think about, you know, eating and drinking, you know, like for an entire week might make me feel crap the next week, and don't stop doing it. But maybe that's the reason. In the same way as that is true, I think I've become way more mindful of like how that fluctuation of hormones and stuff affects how I work and affects how I feel about myself, and to go, yeah, maybe avoid looking at pictures of yourself those couple days, or like maybe like don't be as mean to yourself in those days, or oh, you're really energetic in these days, so maybe you can get work done here.
Yeah. Do you have like a peak where you're like your best self in your monthly cycle?
Unfortunately, I think it's right after. I think for me, it's right after my period stops. It's like those few days when like I'm coming up. It's like
right.
There is stuff going on. So those are a great few days, and then it just descends into the usual sort of great mess of existentialism. Yeah.
And it's crazy how little information there is, I feel, out there. Like, I don't know about you, and maybe this is just exposing my own ignorance, but until I started doing fertility treatment, I didn't mm-hmm. know that there were only like 2 days a month where you could actually get pregnant.
Yeah.
Because I swear my whole school life was about like being told that you could get pregnant if a boy looked at you.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's like, oh, wait, there's this big secret that there's only yeah. 2 days where you can actually get pregnant.
Totally. It's wild. And also it's something I've talked about heaps in my stand up, but it's unreal in a world where there's 2 days you can get pregnant, yet the onus is always on female bodies to sort of be the ones not to get pregnant, as opposed to not getting other people pregnant. And it's almost a joke. It is literally a joke, because the amount of money put into researching forms of birth control for women over and above maybe figuring out the other part of it is quite astonishing. Yeah, it's very sobering, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Your fifth piece of advice is one that I really like and I think I relate to, and it is have crushes on all your friends.
Yes, I firmly believe in this. And it doesn't necessarily have to be romantic crushes, although those are quite fun as well. And sometimes can be lovely and fleeting, particularly if you're single and they're single. But I think crushes come in so many different forms. I think I'd define a crush as sort of just an intensely lovely feeling for another human being. And I think I think you do go through phases of having crushes on friends where you go, I really want to spend time with them. What do I think? They're the best person ever. And having crushes on friends that you potentially don't act on romantically or sexually or whatever, sustains them for years and like reminds you of why you're friends with them and sort of makes you and forces you to celebrate all the things you love about them. And God, I think there's just nothing better in life than having a goddamn crush or fancying someone. It's just the best. It's the life force of being on this planet.
Yeah. And it's just a spark, isn't it? And you get that spark. Yeah. With a new person you might meet at a party, and you just go and you end up spending the whole night talking to that one random person.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing feeling, even if it's not romantic. Yeah, you're right.
Totally. It's like oftentimes, yeah, I mean, if the disparity between the amount of crushes I've had on people in my life and the actual things that have amounted to any type of romantic relationship is very, very big. But yeah, I think I'll have crushes until the day I die.
Are you someone that has, like, in that respect, friendships that are like almost like the equivalent of like a one night stand or like a really hot date where you have like an incredibly intense friendship for like a short period of time and then sort of fizzles out?
Oh yeah, that happens a lot. I think it happens a lot as well, like in comedy or in like when you're an actor and stuff, like with different projects and stuff, where you become very close with people, you become like a weird little, you know, cohort, and then it disappears. It's like doing a musical at school, you know, when you're like, oh, we're gonna be friends forever, and you're like, yeah, totally. We really don't stay in touch. But I think that's a fun thing about doing comedy through the years of like doing festivals and stuff, and like kind of feeling like you're going away on summer camp, and but that would happen every year. It's a real childlike, teenage like sort of existence that it's quite fun though.
And then at the same time, do you have friends that have been long-term friends that just feel like almost like siblings to you?
Yes, I do. I mean, like my co-writer Alice is one of those people, and then Emma, who's in the show. So I'm kind of out of sight, out of mind. I'm quite a bad person in that sense, so I'm really bad at kind of maintaining relationships like from afar, like, but as soon as I'll see them, it'll be like, you know, I saw them yesterday.
Yeah,
but
so a bit like with the plants. Yeah. You're forgetting exactly. To water your friendships.
I can only see what's in front of me. Yeah, it's terrible.
Your sixth piece of advice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, my sixth piece of advice is I'm nearing the end of my 20s. I turn 30 next month, and I think this is one that I have, I think, just enough wisdom to sort of impart, and that is that I think spending your 20s trying to hone your instincts is a good thing, and then hopefully in your 30s try trust the instincts. I think your 20s are my 20s, you know, are an insane mess of like hormones, new experiences, sort of doing adult things or being in situations that like maybe far, like kind of exceed your maturity sometimes, and you have to do a lot of catching up and faking it until you make it and stuff. And it's a hard time to feel like you can trust your own judgment sometimes, because you're kind of still piecing that together. It's like kind of you're piecing together like a toolkit of being like, what do I value? What are my principles? Who are the people I like? Who are the people I don't like? And how confident I am to be the person I am, and to sort of say no and yes to things, and have resolve in those decisions and stuff. And I think it's good to not pressure yourself to feel like you know everything in your 20s and when you're young. And I think it's kind of a good thing to sort of humble yourself and know that you don't know everything, and you're going to feel different. Your brain changes. Your brain literally will completely change in 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, in the same way that I'll look back on me now and be like, you're such a you're dumbass. What are you talking about? You don't know shit. So, and it's always good to remember that there's always a version 10 years ahead of you who is looking at you like an idiot. I think it's good to like also start like having confidence in the things that you've experienced and learned in your youth, I suppose, in your 20s, when you become, yeah, you're a bit older, and being like, oh no, I actually don't like that. And I'm confident to, I guess, ask for more in friendships, or know when something isn't working out, or just having that life experience to be like, this has happened before. And I know what I did wrong then, and I'm going to do better now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are your sort of expectations for your 30s, or your hopes, or like, how do you, when you picture yourself as like a 38-year-old successful woman in the world, like, what are you thinking? What are you seeing?
Well, she's like very toned for some reason, like against all odds. She hasn't done any exercise in her entire life, really. But for some reason, when she's 38, she's like ripped, weird. Hopefully someone who's like happy, has a lot of friends, is doing things that still make, she feels passionate about. And like, oh my God, this sounds so cheesy. Like, what is my 38-year-old version of myself? But I don't know. I just want to maintain, I just want to be like cool, I guess. And I want to just, you know, I'm very happy where I am now. And I'm like, if I could keep going, having really lovely friends and working on things that I feel really excited and passionate about, and maintain a level of a healthy level of cynicism, but also a nice lack of it in certain areas, and still be a romantic person, I think that'll be good. Yeah,
I remember the thing I was like really looking forward to about my 30s was being someone that went for dinner on her own, and like sat and read a book and drank a glass of wine, and like was that person that I would see in places. And I have followed through with that, and it's something that I really enjoy doing. So
that's so good. I'm ahead of you, man. I kind of got into that like in my mid-20s, and I haven't looked back. Yeah, I knew that was the future I wanted for myself. I was like, start young, people expect it of you by the time you're in their 30s. It's not like oh, that's weird, Rose has gone for dinner on her own again. It's like, yeah, that's what she does. It's her thing.
I love that. So we've come to the end of your good pieces of advice, and we're now at a piece of bad advice that you've maybe been given, and it hasn't been something that you've kind of acted on, and it's been particularly positive in your life, or that's particularly resonated for you. So what is your bad piece of advice?
Well, I mean, like I do have a bad piece of advice that that someone else gave me once, that was to soften my accent to be successful in the UK, which was very fun. But I'd say, which is a bizarre one, and I don't think one that would have worked. I think, I don't know if it's bad advice, but it's also advice that sort of completely undermines all my other pieces of advice. And that is that just to remember that you know nothing, and life is complicated, and nothing means anything. And ultimately, life is, you know, you die, you live alone, you die alone, you're born alone, and really we're just kind of remarkably insignificant. So I think that's a bit of a downer, you know, to end on. I love ending on a downer.
Has anybody kind of like said a similar thing to you, or made you feel?
No, but I think it's a general attitude that I think I was sort of imbued into my concept of the world from my parents. My parents are very, they're hippies. They're like they're hippies who like also are deeply cynical and a pessimist. So a healthy kind of serving of like, yeah, but everything's fucked. It's always good. It's always good. It's always a good, you know, galvanizing energy.
Yeah, I mean, it's an anxiety. Isn't it?
It's an anxiety to sort of just fuel you for the rest of your life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just be nervous. Be nervous. Be on edge. Okay.
Amazing.
You never know what will happen.
Have you thought of a career as a motivational speaker?
I have considered it. I have considered it, but I just think I'd be too successful and it would just take over my life. So I can't do it.
Amazing. Well, I can't wait for your TED talk.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rose, so much for sharing your advice with us. It's been great having you on the show, and I wish you all the best with the next season, and I can't wait to watch it.
Thank you so much. Lovely to talk to you as well.
Thanks for listening to this week's Grazia Life Advice podcast, and thanks again to Rose Matafeo for sharing so much with us. As ever, if you've enjoyed listening, please subscribe. And if you know someone, maybe they have a penchant for rubbish pop socks, or maybe they need to start tracking their menstrual cycle, please suggest they listen. There is nothing more powerful for us than a personal recommendation. Take care. Bye.